Hi. I'm Tony DeAngelis, and today I'd like to draw on my 22 years of experience studying and instructing in a traditional style of martial arts, Japanese karate, to explain why I believe that the martial arts are a spiritual practice worthy of extended discussion. From the onset, I want to differentiate my style, a traditional style, from a sport or a self-defense system. As opposed to just a physical fitness endeavor, a traditional style approaches the martial arts as a physical, moral, and spiritual system to help one live a fuller, more enlightened life. A cornerstone of the traditional martial arts integrates meditation into its practice. It strives to cultivate humility and develop compassion. It attempts to look at the world with shoshin. That's Japanese for open beginner mind. And you do this in an attempt to develop zanshin. And zanshin is the aware mind. The ultimate, you're trying to ultimately cultivate mushen. Mushen, which is no mind or empty mind. So hopefully this will become clearer by the end of my talk. The martial arts today, particularly in the West here, is oftentimes consistently misunderstood. And the reputation has been diminished by both Western and Eastern pop culture. Although I have to guiltily admit, I do have a soft spot in my heart for good, bad martial arts movies. So here I am. I'm standing here as sort of half humorously of what people call my angry white pajamas. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about that for a minute. This, incidentally, what I'm wearing is the outfit is called a gi. It represents shoshin, or beginner mind. The white of the gi represents shoshin. But what you'll find today, we link practicality with principle, and in Asian culture tends to be a modest culture, and it's a wonderful garb to work out, and it's made of cotton, canvas cotton. So it's modest, but yet it has a deeper meaning to what we're talking about here. Also, if you will, I'm wearing bare feet, no shoes. And in the Western tradition, bare feet is oftentimes a sign of disrespect, but in the Eastern tradition, particularly in the martial arts, when you come into the dojo, which is the training hall, it means the place of the way, you take your shoes off because the shoes are outside and they're dirty, and when you're practicing in a dojo, it's a ritual space. So you're dedicating yourself to that space, so you take off your shoes. If you notice, I have no jewelry on. There's a practical reason for that, because in the martial arts, it can be dangerous if you're wearing rings or necklaces when you're practicing sparring techniques. But it's also a sign of respect in that you're trying to become egoless. You don't want to differentiate yourself from other students in the dojo. If you see here, I'm wearing my belt. The belt represents experience. It's a little bit different than in the American tradition. In American martial arts schools, there are color grading systems. And indeed, even in the traditional Japanese systems now, we've sort of deferred to that color grading system with belts. But in reality, in the old days, for a traditional martial art, you were given a white belt. And the white belt was never washed. And the grit and the sweat of the white belt stayed on the belt. And over time, the belt becomes black, which is a sign of experience. Okay. In the West, we look at the black belt as mastery. In the East, in the traditional Japanese system, it's only half of the journey. The idea is that the black belt garners a certain level of experience, and then you must take that experience and go further with it. And the idea is that after a time, the belt starts to fray. And begins to turn white again. So ultimately, in the end, similar to what Eliot speaks about in his four quartets, you come back to the beginning and you know it for the first time because you're, again, a level of a white belt, but an expert. So that's what the goal, that's what we're working towards here. Anyway, let me go back to the gi one second. The gi is the term that's used, G-I, gi, it's Japanese. It also means in Japanese rectitude, which you may or may not know. I didn't know originally when I started this, but what rectitude means is making the right decision in every situation without wavering. So heavy, right? So rectitude, but I do have to say, I'm standing here in my angry white pajamas and my gi, and I'm a little embarrassed. And partly the reason I'm embarrassed, I'm not embarrassed by wearing outlandish clothes. Some of you may know I used to be an actor, so I am used to wearing outlandish costumes. But my embarrassment stems from the inappropriateness of wearing my karate work clothes, if you will, here in a Unitarian church, a place where by its very nature, the Western tradition, spirit is often separated from the body. Now, I really like being a UU, but honestly, sometimes we do get in our heads. The Eastern tradition, on the other hand, and especially the martial arts, has no difficulty mixing the body and the spirit. However, I do want to say, I am a UU, I'm proud to be a UU, and I know of no other spiritual venue where I could get up here and explain to you my feelings of why the martial arts are spiritual. So, here we are. Let's talk. First, I'd like to briefly, and I want to make it brief, frame the martial arts in a historical context. Now, I could go on with this forever. If you have any questions or want to talk more about it, we can talk afterwards, too. But one of the things I'd like to say, there's an apocryphal story that has been reported that Bodhidharma, Daruma in the Japanese, the 28th patriarch of Buddhism, he was the Bodhisattva, which means enlightened being, who brought Buddhism from India to China, also brought Kung Fu to China. He brought it to the Chinese monks in the Shaolin Temple under Song Mountain. Now, this may or may not be true, but what is irrefutable is that Chinese martial arts and Buddhism have been linked together for at least the last 15 centuries. For the next 1,000 years after the first 7th century transmission, Buddhism and the martial arts migrated from China to Okinawa to Japan and finally to Korea. And it's worth noting that Buddhism and the martial arts subtly changed when introduced to each unique culture. And the Japanese cultural soil proved incredibly fertile for both Buddhism and the martial arts. The dominant strata of Japanese medieval society was the samurai. The samurai was the hereditary Japanese martial caste. And they reinforced the tie between Zen Buddhism and the practice of their martial arts. Now, look at it this way. If you could die in battle at any moment, it became practical to tie a philosophy that stressed impermanence and living fully in each moment to your dominant fighting system. So that's why we see the tie. In the modern era, the martial arts are considered a do, from the Chinese dao, dao meaning a way. And the do is a way of liberation. Japanese culture is full of do's. Mine is karate do. Karate means the way of empty hand. There's cha do, the way of tea. There's kudo, the way of archery. There's kado, which is the way of flower arranging. Simply put, in Japan, the do's are diverse disciplines used as vehicles for enlightenment. Now, I'd like to talk about a few concepts that are essential to understanding the martial arts. And the first concept is practice tied to principle. This was exemplified by the first passage that I had Dale read today. The martial arts are a practical art form. They started as a practical codified fighting system, and as Takuan Soho, author of The Unfettered Mind, states, technique and principle are the two wheels of a cart. That would be a horse-drawn cart. So to really understand karate, you have to practice karate. I thought about pushing the chairs to the side and starting a karate class here today. But I rejected that idea because some of you might be feeling physically exhilarated and others might feel sore and winded. But ultimately, unfortunately, we would be no closer to a deeper spiritual understanding of this practice. The spiritual teachings of the martial arts, something physical like karate, is a slow process of accretion. It takes 5, 10, 15 years. The martial arts, and especially karate, my art form, physically needs to be practiced obsessively and relentlessly to really organically understand the deeper teachings. We say 10,000 kicks to understand one type of kick. We say 10,000 punches to understand one strike. Another thing we say is it takes 3 years to learn how to stand, 3 years to learn how to punch, and 3 years to learn how to kick. In the beginning, I talked a little about the final goal of the martial arts is to get to Mushen, or empty mind. Well, you can't go to Mushen or empty mind unless these techniques are first ingrained in your body. And the spiritual underpinnings are also reflective of these physical parameters. In Japan, the term is renma, which means polishing the mirror, polishing the mind. To honor this idea, at the end of every karate class, all of the students get down on their hands and knees and manually wipe the dojo floor clean with a towel. This has the practical effect of wiping the sweat off the floor. It's a wooden floor. And it also has the symbolic effect of helping each student approach his or her practice with humility, wiping the dust of our ego, which settles on our souls. At this point, I'd like to address further the difference between a martial art and a martial system. Most cultures around the world have developed a martial system, a fighting system, which is a series of physical movements for protection, for defense, to project your will on another. We think of boxing, which is a very fearsome fighting system from the West. However, raising the martial arts to the state of an art has been most fully realized in the Eastern traditions. Most notably, the martial arts are tied to Buddhism. We see it in China and Japan and Korea. The concept of a martial art, the idea that a martial system was not only a system for protection and defense, but could be used as a vehicle for ethical and spiritual development, a vehicle to cultivate humility and compassion. In its most realized form, the vehicle is to get in touch with the divine. And that's the crux of what I'm talking about today, getting in touch with the divine. My style of karate is Sado karate. Sado karate is means sincere way. Sado, do meaning way, say, which means sincere, sincere way. It was named by my teacher, a grandmaster and 10th degree black belt, Kaicho Tadashi Nakamura, from a poem from Confucius that goes, "Sincerity is the way of heaven. To follow it sincerely is the way of mankind." Sado karate places great emphasis on strong, compassionate, moral, and ethical considerations. This patch right over here comes from the family, my teacher, Kaicho Nakamura's family crest. If you can see it here, it has three circles. The first circle is respect. The second circle is love. And the third circle here is obedience. When we're talking about respect, we're talking about respect for ourselves. We're talking about respect for our families and respect for others. Without respect, one cannot truly have love, and without love, one cannot truly understand and cultivate compassion. Kaicho Nakamura states that compassion is literally the movement of the insides of one being for another being. Obedience is a little more difficult for Westerners to grasp. Kaicho Nakamura specifically states that obedience is not blind military obedience, but an obedience of the heart. An obedience to serve something greater than oneself. And obedience is another wonderful tool to check the ego and serve a greater cause selflessly. When we go into the dojo, we bow. Before we step onto the dojo floor, we bow when we leave the dojo floor. We bow to our master, we bow to senior students, we bow to other students. This bowing is not a sign of subservience, but is a extension and technique of practicing your obedience. It is more to cultivate greater humility and, again, to diminish the influence of the ego in our lives. When we bow, we also say, "Us." Us comes from usu shinobi, which basically, when you look at the kanji, it means I understand, but it also means patience. So when you bow, you're practicing and you're actually physically saying patience. So with these tools, the martial arts, through a martial artist, through his or her practice, needs to cultivate certain ethical and moral principles as well. And those are rectitude, heroism, universal love, courtesy, truthfulness, devotion, and loyalty. I almost cringe when I say those things because it sounds a little bit like the Boy Scouts, which isn't bad, but it's just it feels a little embarrassing at first. But there is a reason for this, and I will go on to explain it to you. Karate and the martial arts in general take an unflinching and honest look at the violence that is pervasive within the human species. Violence, rage, aggression have been part of the human story from before its official beginnings. Indeed, it appears that part of our genetic heritage. I like to think of the marauding bands of chimpanzees that indiscriminately kill rival groups for pleasure. In our modern world, think of road rage, domestic violence, sexual abuse, and murder. And we need to look no further than the tragedy that occurred a few weeks ago in Tennessee to see this violence played out. By extension, all we need do is briefly listen to or read the newspaper to see that this anger, violence, and aggression is getting played out on an international level every day, and I'm not focusing on other people or other countries. The martial arts acknowledges that these negative feelings and emotions are found in each and every one of us, and the darkness exists within our own hearts. The martial arts would say that if you don't see that, you're ignorant, or you're in denial, or worse, you're lying. And ignorant is not a criticism, you just haven't learned yet. By extension, if you are then in danger of propagating and amplifying this violence and aggression, if you live in that ignorance or denial. The dojo, as I told you before, is called a place of the way. It's a laboratory to explore violent impulses. And that's why the strong ethical imperatives and formalized courtesies, the bowing and the Boy Scout rules and the clothing, the being other than the rest of the world, are established as guideposts and boundaries within the traditional martial arts to enforce a controlled, safe environment to explore fear, violence, and the aggressive impulse. I'd like to use the Buddhist framework here if I can, since martial arts and Buddhism are very, very closely linked. If one originally comes to studying the martial arts for self-defense, one is operating solely under fear. And that's fine. We all sometimes come to things because we want to learn to empower ourselves and become less fearful. Okay? Fear is a great motivator to begin one's journey on a path to enlightenment. But if we stay in self-defense, if we stay in fear, one is operating on the level of, using Takuin Soho's analogy, of a tied-up cat. If you progress then to the next level, which is attempting to understand violence and aggression, you're attempting to understand the nature of what the Buddha in the Four Noble Truths called suffering. However, if one practices diligently over many years, you might get to the next level, which is called freedom. It's the passage that Gail read today at the beginning of the talk. And to reiterate, if I could, to quote it, in terms of the martial arts, the mind is not detained by the hand that brandishes the sword. Completely oblivious to the hand that wields the sword, one strikes. He does not put his mind in his adversary. He does not put his mind in his own body. The opponent is emptiness. He is emptiness. The hand that holds the sword itself, is emptiness. Understand this, but do not let your mind be taken by emptiness. Easier said than done. In closing, as I stated in the beginning of the talk, we come back to the idea of Shoshin, beginner open mind, an attempt to reach Zanshin, aware mind, and ultimately, after diligent practice, one will cultivate Mushen, or empty or no mind, engendering the mind with no place to abide, or the story of the well-trained cat. Thank you.